Listen, I did film and television studies at university for 3 years. I spent hours reading countless books and articles on subjects spanning from film all the way to television. Not a single one mentioned Hugh Grant once.
I achieved the hardest qualification across any university or college ever, a 2-1 in history. Let me tell you, the only thing that I learned was that we, as a society, have a history of denying and neglecting Hugh Grant's artistic and cultural relevance, not just in this country, but in the entire world.
I met Oscar at a Hugh Grant-themed event I put on at the Students' Union.
It felt as though Digory and I were the only ones there, and we agreed that there was a Hugh Grant-shaped hole in academia.
We decided to put it right ourselves. We want to show people that he's an icon in acting.
We want to show people he's more than just a bumbling posh guy.
I'm Digory Waite.
And I'm Oscar Beardmore Gray.
And this is...
Taking Hugh for Granted.
Hello and welcome to Taking Hugh for Granted, the podcast in which two Hugh Grant enthusiasts watch every single film starring Hugh Grant in the attempt to answer the simple question, is this film taking Hugh for granted? Is this film good on its own or does it rely on the bumbling Brit for its acclaim? I'm Digory Waite and I'm joined as always by my colleague and fellow Hugh Grant obsessive Oscar Beardmore Gray. Oscar, how the bloody hell are you doing today, mate?
I'm doing very well, Diggs. Happy New Year to you. Happy 2023.
Happy New Year to you and all of our listeners. How has your New Year gone so far?
It's been pretty good. Just better now to be doing an episode of Taking Hugh.
Exactly. I feel like this year has started pretty well because, I mean, we've had a new Hugh Grant film to watch.
And there's more to come.
This year is going to be a big year for Hugh Grant, which is very, very exciting. I guess we should... I forgot we even have to do this. I guess we should have a synopsis from Synopsis Simon.
I honestly forgot about that too. Yes, I'm so glad that we can get Simon back on the pod.
Exactly. It's going to be great. I'm going to have to go down into the cellar and see if he's not dead. I did sort of forget about him down there. I hope he's got enough food. I'm not sure. Anyway, I don't know what he did for Christmas. Probably just gnawing his own leg to stay alive. But anyway, let's see if I can corral Synopsis Simon out from the basement and he can give a synopsis for Glass Onion, a Knives Out mystery.
Glass Onion, a Knives Out mystery, directed by Rian Johnson and released in 2022. When billionaire Miles Bronn, played by Edward Norton, invites five of his closest friends to his remote Greek island to play an elaborate game of murder mystery, it seems as though this group of disruptors are going to have a great weekend. However, when Philip, played by Hugh Grant, also receives an invitation to the island addressed to his partner and the world's greatest detective, Benoit Blanc, played by Daniel Craig, it seems this murder mystery might not be just a game after all.
Wonderful stuff from Synopsis Simon there. Good to hear he's still alive and well and kicking, just with one leg because he did gnaw off the other one. Oscar... Hugh Grant is in Glass Onion. What the hell?
It's sort of bizarre, isn't it? I didn't really believe it for a long time, to be quite honest, because I saw all these rumors and all these, I guess, articles say Hugh Grant is in Glass Onion just as a cameo. And then I didn't really hear anything else until it came out on Netflix. And then I was watching it and I was like, guys, Hugh Grant is in this film, by the way. Yeah, and I still didn't believe it until I saw him on screen.
Exactly. Yeah, honestly. And even then I was like waiting. But what was amazing was I was watching it with someone who also was like, oh, we can't wait for the Hugh Grant bit. And we're watching the film. So people that don't know at home, it's basically like a Agatha Christie novel. We've got a detective called Benoit Blanc, played by Daniel Craig with his fascinating accent. And he's like down in the dumps. He's sat in the bath because he's really sad because he doesn't have a case. He wants a case. He wants a mystery. He lives for it. And there's a knock at the door and he asks whoever else is in the house to get it. And then the person in the house says, you know, they'll get the door, whatever. And I didn't think twice about this when the person who I was watching the film with was like, was that Hugh? And I was like, maybe. Let's have a listen and see if that was Hugh's voice.
Can I ask, have you tried crosswords?
No, Natasha. I don't need puzzles or games. The last thing I need is a vacation. I need danger, the hunt, a challenge. I need a great case.
Locke, is There's someone here for you. With a box.
So that, I guess, is his first... I guess it's not really an appearance. But I think in great tradition, Oscar, let's really unpack that. what do you think of that line there from you?
Yeah, I think I did catch his voice there. I was like, it's coming. It's happening.
How excited were you when you heard that? Were you like, oh my God, when are we going to actually see him though?
Well, I was wetting myself, Diggs, because especially as... we'll talk a little more about our thoughts later, but let's be honest, the first 40 minutes of this film was really boring. So this elevated it.
Yeah, massively, because you knew that something exciting was coming, and it did a little way through the film. Benoit Blanc gets a knock at his door from one of the characters who has a big box for them, and who opens the door but Hugh Grant in a black t-shirt with a pink and green apron.
Sort of a tie-dye apron.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. And he's holding a little pot of something. He's sort of covered in, I guess...
Flour?
I don't know what, flour? Yeah, flour. Because I think he's doing sourdough. He's baking sourdough. His hair's all grey and he answers the door. Let's have a listen to exactly what he says.
Oh, get there, would you? You're not in the bath again, are you?
No.
Yeah. Can I help you?
Yes. Is this Benoit Blanc's residence?
What is this regarding?
Well, his office was closed, and I really need to speak with him. It's urgent. Please.
Blanc? There's someone here for you with a box.
Oscar worthy performance.
I love that final line. I feel like that is Oscar worthy. He's like, Blanc,
there's someone here for you with a box.
Yeah.
I love that line. I love it.
I think it's a great cameo. I think it's absolutely lovely. I also love that it feels so Hugh Grant to open the door and not even be like, hello. He just goes, yes.
I feel like he embodied a lot of people during COVID, because this film is set during COVID, and you know how everyone made bread and shit during COVID.
Yeah,
like I feel like that's what they're getting at there a little bit. You know, he's
exactly
he's a bit shocked that someone would actually come to the door
because
no one saw each other, and then he's got like stuff always over his face because you saw no one. Doesn't really matter what you look like. Maybe he was trying a slightly something edgy to wear, like with the tie-dye apron, which, by the way, where can I get one of those?
I know, exactly. It looks so good. It's amazing.
But there is, Diggs, there is a bit of a backstory, isn't there, to how Hugh got involved in the film. And also, we do know a bit about his character. I believe his name is Phil. That is his official name in this movie.
Hugh Grant, actually, in an interview, confirmed that, in his words, he is married. His character is married to James Bond, obviously referring to Benoit Blanc, aka Daniel Craig. We can hear a little bit of his interview, because he's being interviewed by someone about Dungeons and Dragons, but with Chris Pine. It's a bit of a weird interview, because Chris Pine is hearing about this for the first time as well. But Hugh gives some interesting insight into how this whole thing came about.
It is true. I'm married to James Bond.
Oh, fuck, man. I didn't know that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Are you credited in the film?
I don't know. I haven't seen it. God, I haven't seen the film yet.
Damn it, Weintraub. It's a minor thing. But
it's the tiniest little moment.
But it's not.
I don't really know why they wanted to do it. But anyway, I thought Knives Out 1 was brilliant. And God. So, yeah, and I thought, why not? I'd turn up for a few hours and look at your nails.
You're just trying to deflect from talking about Benoit.
Get your nails on camera.
Such a classic Hugh Grant moment there, to be like, oh, look at your nails, and just try and deflect from, because I think the whole thing about that is he's worried that he's going to spoil something for the film. But I think by this point the film had come out when they were doing the thing. But
right.
But yeah, so just a couple of hours they did this thing, and it's a disjointed scene. Ryan Johnson, the director, which I also need to apologize to people. Last episode, I think I said the director of this film was James Gunn. Completely wrong. Anyway, Ryan Johnson.
We made a couple of mistakes, actually, didn't we? We got pointed out by some fans that we made.
Oh, no, what do they say? What else do we say?
A man who goes by the name of Nick Dobbs pointed out, said, apologies, we're acknowledging the mistake that the film only came out in America on limited release, but it actually came out in many different places, I think, on limited release.
All right, well, there you go. Fair play. But it's amazing. I mean, Ryan was saying after the first film came out, I think the phrasing was it just made sense for Benoit to be gay. And then when he was imagining who would bring him the most joy for Benoit Blanc to be with, and his first thought was Hugh Grant. Like, I just love it to be Hugh Grant. He said Hugh was a joy to work with, that Hugh obviously, as we say, came to set for one day. But when asked if Hugh Grant would basically be the Watson to Benoit Blanc's Holmes, he said he's not so sure. But if there's a third one, do you reckon that Hugh might play a bit more of a role, maybe?
Well, that was my next question, Dave. It certainly opened the door to Hugh potentially appearing in a third Knives Out film. And I believe that has already been commissioned. Netflix signed a two-film deal for this for some like staggering amount of money. I think it was like $600 million or something like that.
Wow.
So who knows? I think this is the kind of franchise that Hugh would fit perfectly into. And be honest, I would love to see Hugh and Daniel Craig on the same screen together. I'd just be hilarious. Yeah.
Do you know what? I haven't even thought about it. Even though I've just asked the question, like, I haven't even thought about what that would be like.
Their dynamic as a couple.
Oh my God. That actually just has to happen. Because I think reading what Ryan said there, like Ryan was like, I don't think it's going to be like a Holmes and Watson kind of deal. I don't think they're going to be, it's like going to be a buddy comedy cop thing. But even if there was just a few more scenes where you get Daniel Craig and Hugh Grant in a room being a couple, oh my God, I literally would die for that. That would be so good. Even if like Hugh only got like 10 minutes of screen time, that'd be so good. My only issue is I fear with Hugh Grant, he doesn't like doing sequels. And if this became a proper franchise and he became properly ingratiated into the story, you know, maybe he wouldn't be too up for that. But, you know, maybe if he was used as some sort of leverage, you know, someone captured Hugh Grant in the next film and kept him hostage or something, and maybe he was shot and killed.
And Daniel Craig has all the contacts in the James Bond franchise as well.
Exactly.
So, you know, that dream is not dead yet for Hugh.
No, exactly. You can still become James Bond. And if you want to hear what that would sound like, you can go back to our previous April Fool's episode to hear us say that Hugh Grant was indeed cast as James Bond. Any closing thoughts on Hugh Grant before we move on?
Not particularly, apart from to say that I love this. I'm fully on board with the small cameos. The amount of eyeballs he would have got off this film is just cementing himself as a really good actor going into his 60s. And even today, I was reading Reddit and stuff and people talking about his newest film that we'll talk about on another episode, basically just being like, I love Hugh in this new Renaissance period. And
yes,
I think he's going to do more of this. I think he's got so many contacts in the industry these days that he's going to get the call, like, do you want to do this little cameo? You're going to be potentially... I think he would have honestly just got a kick upon the fact that they said, hey, Hugh, we want you to do this little scene. It's going to be very short, but you are going to be married to Daniel Craig.
Yeah.
And he would have been like, sign me up. So I feel like if he gets another opportunity along those lines where there's a bit of an in-joke, something kind of funny, interesting, he's going to be all over it.
Exactly. I think you're absolutely right. And obviously we remember he has, the more I think about this, I suppose his first proper cameo, do I have it? I do. Would have been, do you remember this film? Travaux. The French film Travaux. Now, this is something we should talk about as well, actually, on the closing point of this. This film, this French
Diggs
film.
This is Travaux, holding up the DVD, by the way.
I'm standing by with a DVD.
This DVD is like, seriously, we spent months. He ordered this all the way from France.
From France.
And it doesn't even play in a UK system.
No, it doesn't work on a UK DVD player. And also, what's really scary about it is you look at it and nowhere on the film does it say Hugh Grant or like he's in it at all. And actually, the cameo in this... So this is a film entirely in French. And also, there's no French or English subtitles in this DVD anywhere. So not only did I have to buy a special DVD player to be able to play this DVD, but also even when I played it, I couldn't play it. I couldn't understand a single word they were saying.
That's got to be the single bit of dedication to this podcast that trumps rest. You bought... you bought a DVD from a different country that didn't work. So you then bought a DVD player for that specific country and then watched a film that you couldn't understand just for a 30-second cameo of Hugh Grant speaking French. is amazing.
Yes. And it was literally right at the end of the film as well, which was obviously... So halfway through the film, I was like, I picked up the DVD and I was like, looking on it, being like, are you sure? And I was looking online, and some places online say that Hugh's in it and some places don't. And you think to yourself, hang on a minute. Have I just spent all this money on this DVD player, all this money on this DVD just to watch this film where Hugh Grant's not in it? But what's absolutely fascinating, though, is that it's just the end of the film in Truffaut that he makes a cameo. And again, it's a woman opening the door and Hugh Grant's there and they have this conversation. It feels so eerily similar to this cameo of, you know, who's behind the door when you open it, and it's Hugh Grant. It's quite spooky. So
maybe Hugh was like asked about it and he thought, well, you know, I did this thing in Truffaut several years ago.
They probably rang him up and they were like, Hugh, we'd love you to be in this, but do you have any experience of anything at all similar? Because we want to make sure you're right for the job. And he's like, you'll never guess what. Back in 2004, I was in some weird French film.
Well, you're listening to Hugh Grant taking Hugh for granted on the radio. Hugh Grant taking Hugh for granted. Oh, the podcast show.
Okay, so you mentioned in the first part there when we were talking about Hugh Grant that you didn't like the first 40 minutes of the film. What were your general thoughts on it?
My general thoughts is that this film is not all that it's hyped up to be. And it's interesting that you said, I remember when we did the Hughes News a few weeks ago, that you'd stayed up all night to watch the first one, which came out a few years ago. And you also a little bit dissatisfied. And I felt that with this film. I watched this movie, like many people I'm sure did, like over Christmas with the whole fam, like after dinner, like everyone, we're going to watch this Hugh Grant film. We didn't say that. I didn't say that, but yeah, Hugh Grant's in this film.
yeah. It's such false advertising. Be like, this Hugh Grant film, where he's in it for literally 30 seconds. Yeah.
And they all went to bed after 40 minutes.
Really?
Yeah, they were they thought it was that bad. And so I also was like, guys, I'm not going to sit here by myself. So I also went to bed, and then I came back and watched it like the second half another day. And to be fair, they missed out, because it's one of these films, isn't it, where the first half an hour I feel like you're intentionally led down a path where you have no idea what's going on, and then suddenly it all reveals itself in this kind of epic last 45 minutes, which was really good. And I did come out of it at the end thinking, that was entertaining. There were some good performances. It's hard to get over how bad Daniel Craig's accent is. And I feel like people are not, it's like, that's the elephant in the room, isn't it? Like, why is no one else talking about this? I feel like, you know, he's going on all these, I've watched interviews of Daniel Craig on like Stephen Colbert show, Graham Norton show, and no one, I know that they hype everyone up, but no one just kind of goes to Daniel, this wasn't your best effort.
what's going on? Yeah. It's so weird because I felt that with the first one as well. And I was sort of like, I sort of thought, is this part of the joke that it's shit? Is that part of the fun? And to be honest, that's how I've just decided to take it, is that this is a bit funny, that his accent's shit. But with this second one coming out, I actually don't think people think that. And now I think you're right. And I think actually, it's this thing that we've all just accepted as like fine and normal, but it's not fine and normal. It's terrible and weird. and he must be stopped. And especially if now this is a franchise. The thing is, though, which is really difficult because it is so unique that I think it's serving the film really well. And I think it will be something that needs to continue. But I just want to quietly pull Daniel to one side and go, You are doing this badly on purpose, aren't you? And he'll go, oh yeah, of course. I'll go, okay, good. All right, fine, continue. Because I don't want I don't want him to bring this whole thing down. I don't want him to like say it out loud, because then it might ruin it. But I just want to double check, because he's bad? It's bad.
I'd feel scared about telling him that it was shit. You know, this is James Bond you're talking to.
I mean, exactly.
The one thing I would say, though, is that, okay, I get it's like part of the whole franchise, but he's quite hard to understand. Like,
yeah,
there's parts where I'm like straining in. It's like, I can't understand you not because I don't understand the accent. I can't understand you because you're really bad at the accent.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I can understand.
You still mumbles a lot.
Exactly. Yeah, it is. Yeah, it's bizarre. These whodunit films, like you said about that first 40 minutes, I know it's setting everything up and you sort of need to know who the characters are to then care about them, but then know their backstories and then know why they will have all their motives and stuff. So then you can settle into the film. But it really just did feel like it really took its time to get there. And it really took its time for the film to go, okay, now it's just like, it's a murder mystery and now we're into it. And I think it really does suffer from that because I, like similarly, the people I watched it with, we were all sort of shifting in our seats a bit because we were just a bit like, okay, we're a bit bored at the moment. And I, to be honest, don't know whether it, because then the film's quite, it's so fun in terms of like, it's really camp and pastiche and really like loud and funny and like silly, which is, and everyone plays it really like, really fun. But the problem is, because it was so boring before that, because then it's so shallow, I then really do find it hard to sort of get behind it and find it at all like, and some people are saying that's the point of the film. It's the glass onion, you know, it's like, it looks like it's got loads of layers, but it's actually like really, you know, one dimensional.
There's a lot of people trying to do this at the moment in all kinds of creative spaces, like the kind of having a go subtly or not so subtly at the sort of elite of society, this uber rich, shallow social media kind of world that we're living in. And I think this is another attempt at it. And I don't know. I've seen lots of reviews being like, it's a really effective criticism of the problems of our modern day urban elites.
Mm-mm.
But at the same time, I was just like, I think you're trying a bit hard. I don't know. It didn't quite work for me.
Do you know what? I actually think in some ways, I kind of think it is because basically, the moral of the story is all the, like, there's a big bad guy who's doing all this evil shit and all these other people who are leeching off him to get all his money. And even when he does this really bad stuff, they still, because they're so tied to the money, they still won't call him out for it. So I do kind of like and appreciate that. The problem is around that is what I would find for a lot of it is actually a boring and not very interesting film that I never really want to see again. So that's the problem. It's sort of like, yes, you've made somewhat of a point, but around it is a boring film. So at the end of the day, you've still got a boring film in your hands. And the only reason I really think that message I at all like is because I don't think it's through coincidence, but the main Edward Norton's character, the big bad guy, is so clearly meant to be Elon Musk. And that's amazing. That's why I love it, because it's whole, that whole thing of, oh, he stole the idea. Like the whole thing about Elon Musk stealing Tesla and stuff and actually at the end of it being an idiot and being a disruptor and constantly trying to like do all this crazy shit. But ultimately, like what he's trying to do is really dangerous for the world. People have rightly said that's basically Elon Musk. And I think that's really funny. And that's a good like taking shots at him. I appreciate that. But ultimately around it is a boring film. So yeah, I probably won't watch it ever again.
I won't watch it until maybe the third one comes out of Hugh Grant in a more starring role. I want to compare it really quickly to a film that came out towards the end of the last year called The Menu, which is very similar. It's very similar in its themes. It's kind of like load of rich people who are out of touch with reality go to this island. There's a crazy person there. I won't spoil it for people, but you know, shit goes down basically. But that's done in a far more effective way, I think. And I think the star of that show is Ralph Fiennes, who you can't find a bad Ralph Fiennes film, let's be honest, or a bad Fiennes performance. And it's also got our man Nicholas Hoult starring in it.
Oh, lovely. Yeah.
So I would say if you like this film, that film is a better version than this one. So go check it out.
Taking you for granted. Taking you for granted. Taking you for granted. What did you think, lads? Were they taking you for granted?
Diggs, it's been a long time since we got to do this, but Glass Onion, a Knives Out mystery. Are we taking you for granted?
Oh, man. I think I didn't know what I was going to say coming into this conversation. Genuinely, I didn't know what I was going to say, but I think the more we've talked about it, the more I think I have to say, I think we are taking you for granted. And I think people are going to be pretty upset about that because this film is fun. I know I've said it's boring and stuff, but like it is fun. It's a good way to pass the time. As I've said often, it's popcorn. You know, it is what it is. It's just like fun to put in. It's not lots of bright colours, lots of silly performances and stuff. And it's got Hugh Grant in it. The problem where I have to say it is taking Hugh Grant is ultimately I've come away and thought, okay, but I never want to see it again. And there were long parts of it where I was bored. And Hugh Grant's only in it for 1 minute. So I know it's still fun that he's in it, and I know all that's, and that's great and stuff, but ultimately, if I'm taking this seriously, they've taken Hugh for granted. That's my stance. What about you?
I'm going to agree with you, Diggs. I'm going to agree with you.
Oh, my God.
I think you thought I was not going to agree with you, but that was a very convincing argument. And if I am being completely honest, I also agree. I didn't enjoy this film enough that I'd recommend it to a friend. I'd be like, it's like what I said to you when you hadn't watched it. I was like, Diggs, enjoy the film, but the first 40 minutes are terrible. Like, you don't want to be saying that about any Hugh Grant film, let's be honest, even if he's in it for 30 seconds.
Yeah, yeah, so, exactly.
I love the cameo. Hope he does more of these, but I want to see his character fleshed out. I'm here for number three if it happens, but until then, this film has taken Hugh for granted.
Love it. I completely agree. You know what, as well, just to say, like, I think people will be going, yeah, but this film's fine. Like, I'd give it 3 stars, which is 60%. Like, that's not a terrible film. It's not the fucking standard, though, is it? That is not the standard that we set for Hugh Grant. Well, 3 stars, 60%. That's disgusting.
No.
We set a higher standard than that, guys. Wonderful. Everyone, thank you so much for joining us. What a year we've got ahead of us, I think. I think there's going to be a fair few Hugh Grant films, a fair few more Hugh Grant announcements. It's all very, very exciting. And this is the way to kick it off. What a way to kick off the year. Glass Onion, A Knives Out Mystery.
Incredible, Diggs. And we're going to be back very soon, I think. We are looking hard into the details about this. Like, if you thought Glass Onion was a mystery, Operation Fortune has been the mystery of a lifetime.
Oh.
Guys, it's an episode coming soon because it is meant to be coming out this month. We still don't know the full details of whether it's going to be a full release, whether it's going to be, some people said it's going to be on Disney Plus, but we will be keeping our very close eye on it, and we'll have an episode coming very soon.
Yeah, we'll keep our eyes peeled. Our onions peeled. That's terrible.
You got to keep that. You've got layers, like Shrek.
Exactly. Wonderful, everyone. Thank you so much. Please do follow us on Instagram. We're at Taking Hugh for Granted. We're there on Facebook as well. We're also on Twitter at Taking Hugh. And make sure you're following us wherever you listen to this right now. Tweet Hugh Grant and tell him what a great podcast you listen to, all about him, and that you want to see him in the next Knives Out film, which I'm sure will be coming out very soon. Stick around, everyone. We'll see you next time. Thank you so much for listening.
Thanks, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.
Taking Hugh for Granted is produced, edited, and presented by Diggory Waite and Oscar Beardmore Gray. The producers of Taking Hugh for Granted would like to state that this podcast is in no way associated with the actor Hugh John Mungo Grant, nor does it endorse his views or represent him in any way. Instead, by creating this podcast, Oscar and Diggory hope to celebrate Hugh's illustrious career, reliving his old classics and shedding light on some of his hidden gems. Hugh, if you're listening, we hope you approve.